It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We explore the lives of bobcats in Wisconsin ahead of the fall hunting and trapping season. According to the State Department of Natural Resources, their evasive nature leads us to think bobcats are rare, when in fact they're quite common here. Call in with a question or comment as we discuss this wildcat native to Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Rossler is a DNR wildlife biologist specializing in fur bearers. Sean, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, do tell us, have you seen a bobcat in the wild?
So I get this question a lot, and I want everyone to know that wildlife biologists don't always get preferential treatment from the species that we look at. So I have seen bobcat in the wild, but it is rare, and I want everyone out there to know that it is rare for them to see one as well. So if they do get that opportunity, make sure they soak it all in, because they might not have it too often.
Can you compare the size of my sweet house cat Maddie, who's 9 pounds, and compare her to the size of bobcats roaming Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So when you look at a bobcat compared to a domestic cat, you know 9 pounds, when you look at a bobcat, the average weight is somewhere between 20 and 30 pounds on average. Of course, they can be smaller than that, closer to Maddie's size, or they could be larger than that. We have some, you know, bobcats that get up to 40 pounds, so considerably larger than that. Then when you start to look at other characteristics as far as like the tail, which is an important one to look at, bobcats have a tail that's roughly, you know, 4 to 7 inches long, has a little black dot at the end, a little black dot at the tip, so telltale there as far as the overall size. And then you know, another thing that we look at with bobcat is the larger eyes, right? So they have those large eyes to allow them to see prey and things that at night, and give them those abilities during nocturnal periods.
Yeah, so the eyes, the tip of the tail, what are their markings like? Like, what might we mistake a bobcat for?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, you know, depending on geographic region, the overall coloration can change. But in Wisconsin, a lot of our bobcats, overall, the body is a tawny color. And then if you move down into the belly, it's white with black spotting. One thing I really like to point out to people, if they've asked if they've seen a bobcat, is if you look at the back of the ears, there's black, but then there's also a very distinct white blaze across the back of those ears. So that can be an indicator as well. And the other thing I just want to mention is the front legs. So if you look at the inside of the front legs, you'll see black barring. And sometimes that black barring, for other, you know, research projects, when you look at trying to identify individuals in a non-invasive way, you can, you know, tell individual based on the coloration or some of that barring or individual spotting. So those are some of the other color characteristics that we look at.
Okay, some clear distinctions there. How prevalent are bobcats in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the current status of bobcats is great, right? So bobcats are what I would consider a conservation success story. So they're doing really well, especially when you compare it to, 40 or 50 years ago. And that's not only a success story here in Wisconsin, but that's played out across the Midwest. So states to our south that didn't have bobcats now have bobcats. And if you look at their distribution, you have bobcats from, you know, Quebec all through the lower 48 down to Mexico City. So they have quite a wide distribution range here in North America.
What is contributing to that success story? Why are they coming back?
Yeah, so I think you have to look at the past to kind of understand what's going on now. So historically, we had bobcats across the landscape in Wisconsin. But just like a lot of other species, they had to deal with a few things over their history. So one of those being over-harvest in a period where didn't have regulations. You know, there was nothing to prevent harvesting more than, you know, what was sustainable. You also had habitat changes that may or may not have been beneficial to them. And then the other thing is that perceptions of people. So up and through the 1960s here in Wisconsin, we actually had programs to bounty system to incentivize harvest. And so we kind of came out of that period, where our sites changed, our philosophies changed. We started to regulate harvest. And so we've created systems now that provide bobcat protection, and along with recovery of a lot of their habitats, we've seen them expand from northern Wisconsin, where we've always had bobcats, to the south. And then we've seen bobcat populations from, the lower Midwest move north, and they've, just done a great job of recolonizing parts of their home range or historic home range.
We're talking about the resurgence of bobcats in Wisconsin. Getting a bit of that history with DNR wildlife biologist and fur bear expert Sean Rossler is here. You can join in with your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. John is here from Boaz. John, hi, what's your question?
Hi, I was going to ask if the bobcats get along with the wolves. Because both of our endangered species, and I got my money on the wolf.
All right, John, thank you. What are their interactions like, Sean?
Yeah, so I don't really look at the interactions between wolves and bobcats too often. Bobcats are not an endangered species. They're very common, found throughout the country. I suppose there are interactions. I look at interactions between, other mesocarnivores like coyotes, fox, and bobcats, and there's definitely interactions there and competition. And like John said, if there is interaction between a wolf and a bobcat, you can draw your own conclusions, but I just don't have a lot of information to share as
Sure.
far as how that would play out. I would assume, if the bobcat had the opportunity, that it would move on and avoid that conflict.
What is the life cycle like? When do bobcat moms have their litters?
Yeah, so great question. Bobcats are induced ovulators, so they could have litters throughout the year, but we generally see a similar timeline as far as reproduction as other fur bear species. So they'll breed in the late winter, early spring. They'll have their litters in the spring, and then throughout the summer, they'll be raising those kittens, and they'll have anywhere from 2 to 4. We look at it and say there's an average of 2.7, but that's kind of strange to say, because how do you have 2.7? So anywhere from 2 to 4 bobcats, and they generally stay with mom through the summer into the fall, and then we'll start to disperse like in late winter, early spring. And so one question that we get sometimes is if someone has a trail camera out and they get multiple bobcats on a trail camera, because we often talk about them being solitary. We let people know that that's more than likely, female bobcat with the young of the year.
What kind of habitat do they appreciate? What kind of habitat do bobcats need to survive?
Yeah, so I think, talking about their wide distribution throughout the country, we've had different research projects here in Wisconsin looking at, the habitat use and where they're found. Those studies have been in northern Wisconsin and southern Wisconsin, and what we find is bobcats are generalists for a large part. So as long as they can find, food and shelter, they're going to do pretty well. So we find them in a wide range of habitat types throughout Wisconsin, which I think has also helped, with that, their ability to be flexible with what they need
To
has allowed
survive.
them to, and to expand.
DNR wildlife biologist Sean Rossler specializes in fur bears as our guide to the bobcat population in Wisconsin. And you can join the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We learn about bobcats roaming Wisconsin as the hunting and trapping season gets underway this fall. According to the State Department of Natural Resources, the bobcat is our most seen member of the cat family. And we have the DNR's fur bear biologist, Sean Rossler, here. You can join the conversation. Call in with a question or comment. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring on Sean in Madison with a question. Hi, Sean. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a deer hunter in Columbia County, and this last season, I watched a bobcat chase 6 or 7 deer out of a field, and it was pretty cool to see. Just wondering if that's a normal prey species for bobcat, or if that was a different sort of interaction.
Go
ahead, Sean.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so that's a great question. When we look at the bobcat's diet, you know, a lot of times we look at it being small mammals, so cottontail rabbits, squirrels, birds, mice, voles, things like that. But it's important to point out that, you know, bobcat can be opportunistic like other mesocarnivore species, and they will prey on white-tailed deer. They will scavenge other animals too. So I wouldn't say that it's unusual to have seen that. That does occur, but I just want to point out that their diet's really broad and large and expansive and.
Well, Sean and Madison, thank you for that question. Let's go to Bruce now in Houston, Minnesota. Bruce, what's on your mind?
I have two questions. First question is, how many different subspecies of the bobcat? Because I'm in southeastern Minnesota, and I've seen, we're starting to see them in southeastern Minnesota. Are they migrating out of Missouri and up, or are we getting them out of Wisconsin and out of Canada coming down in the area? And then my last question is, when a cat gets to be over that 30-pound range, what age is that averaged cat at when he gets, let's say, 30, 35 pounds?
All right, Bruce, thank you for those questions. Sean, can you tackle them?
Yes, I think I can tackle them. So the first question that Bruce had as far as where the bobcats are coming from, I think it's an excellent question, one that we have, as fur bear biologists across the Midwest. And there's actually a project focused on that out of Luther College. So Dr. Bill Clark, working with folks at Luther College, looking at
that's in Decorah, Iowa, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Dawn Redding, working with Dawn Redding, and all these genetic samples from bobcats have been collected from across the Midwest to have those specific genetics, and it shows a breakdown of the bobcat in northern Wisconsin being distinctive from bobcat found in the southern U.S. versus Rocky Mountain West. And so one question that we had, same as southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, what group of bobcats is pushing into the southern part of the state? And so we don't have that answer yet. You can hypothesize as far as what would be, is it going to be a mix, or is one going to reach that point more than the other? But they're converging on southern Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, which is really interesting to see. Hmm. And we don't have that information yet, but something that we're working on and
looking at those migration patterns. Yes.
Yep. As they're expanding their range.
And so a 30-pound bobcat, what type of age are they? What is that maturation like?
Yeah, so cannot really speak on the specific age based on the weight of an animal.
Okay.
We talk about harvest. So when a bobcat's harvested during a regulated season, we ask for a sample to be submitted. Generally that's been the carcass from the animal, but it could also just be the lower jaw. And so we gather a canine tooth from that lower jaw. And if you look at a canine tooth, there's a small portion that's sticking out above the jawline, but then it kind of goes like, what you think of maybe as a iceberg. So like 2/3 of that tooth is within the jawline. We pull that tooth out. We send it to a lab in Montana, and they're able to do a cross-section on that. And then they can count cementum annuli like rings on a tree, and give us the age of that. So that's an important part of our harvest management review and program, is to know what the age at harvest is. And so we could look at that, but right now we don't have anything like tied to a specific weight, because we're
Sure.
not gathering that at harvest, but we
What
do collect a lot.
typically is the age at harvest? What type of results do you get from Montana?
So it can be anywhere from, 1 year old to up to 12 years old. So you look back, a number of years, our age at harvest was a little bit older, but that has come down now. But we still get a range of animals, different ages that are harvested throughout the season.
Sean Rossler here as we talk about the resurgence of bobcats in Wisconsin. DNR wildlife biologist fielding your questions at 800-642-1234. Sean, looking at the hunting and trapping season for bobcats getting underway in mid-October, how competitive is the process for getting a permit?
Yeah, so I think to talk about a little bit how that process works. So there's an application period for a permit, and that application's August 1st. And so we've just passed that. We've done the drawing. And one thing that I wanted to point out is that the interest in applying for one of those permits has increased over the years. So if you look back 5 years, it was somewhere between 16 and 19,000 people that had interest in applying for a permit. And then if you look back over the last 3 years, we've gone from like 27,000 to 29,000 to 30,000 people that have applied, either for a preference point or a permit. So that interest continues to increase. We're trying to figure out, why that is. Is it because there's, more bobcat available and people see them? Or, for a while, thought it might have been related to a COVID bump. But we've seen that continue. So now we're still trying to scratch our heads and figure out why we're seeing that. But it's, I guess nice to see the interest in applying for a permit.
How does the DNR determine what's a healthy number of animals to harvest to kill?
Yeah, so we, like a lot of other species, we have a committee, a fur bear advisory committee. And so that committee, over the course of 2 days, is reviewing all the best information that we have on bobcats, which is a lot because of the interest of, citizens of the state and biologists across the state as well. And so we take all that information, look through that, and then come up with a recommendation. And so the thing with permit levels or quota levels is we come up with that quota recommendation, and then that has to be approved. And then from that quota, we can then calculate our permit levels based on previous success rates. So we know that we're issuing enough permits, or the right amount of permits, that we're going to be pretty close to the quota that we want to reach.
What do hunters usually do with bobcats that they kill?
Yeah, so bobcats can be used for different things. So this may sound strange to some of the listeners, but bobcat is a great protein source. So we see that people will, retain the meat from those animals and use that as a protein source. Also see the fur being used, whether it's for garments or other things. And then if you look at the skull, some people will clean up the skull and use that for educational purposes or personal use as well. So a lot of times the people that are harvesting these animals are using it to the fullest potential that they can.
And since bobcats are elusive, how difficult is it to hunt them?
Yeah, so it's going to depend on the area, the person, and their experience. We definitely have success rates. Those success rates now are roughly, as an average across all zones and time periods, somewhere between 30 and 40%. So that gives you an idea of how successful, hunters and trappers are. But it's, variable across the board. Weather conditions and things like that can also come into play and influence hunter and trapper success.
How does 30 to 40% compare to other species?
So we cl collect this for, we focus in the fur bear world, bobcat, fisher, and river otter. And so success rates for bobcat right now are currently higher than those other species. So that's an indicator too that there's, plenty of bobcat out on the landscape, and you know, people are able to find them, and you know, we really don't have any concerns related to that.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Sean Rossler is a wildlife biologist specializing in fur bears with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You can find more conversations like this one. Just navigate over to our program page at The Morning Show. Visit WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to The Ideas Network.